Sorry, Chris, I had a phone call. I just got off the phone with missing persons, and just let you know that Melbourne still haven't been seen since leaving Tullamarine in September last year.
Football is in the books, and I tell you, it was a pretty exciting week, I must admit.
Not yep, I totally agree.
Yep. But what caught your eye this week, my friend?
Well, before we get started, Peps, I just want to, I don't know if you know this yet, but I want to kick it off with just a bit of a public service announcement for all Melbourne supporters. That is that the membership for Melbourne supporters' phone number has now changed to 000 because it's a state of emergency down there. No wins, Peps. No. Do you get the joke? Peps, you haven't won a game yet.
I know. I get the joke.
000.
Yep. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I just got that. Yeah, that's not bad. That's 000.
That's currently the number in your win column.
000. Oh, call 000. Oh, for the Owen Police Department. Okay. Look, we'll get to that shortly. We'll talk about the weekend's games. Yes, we know that Melbourne had another absolute fizzer on the weekend, but we'll get into that. Let's get the housekeeping out of the way. First and foremost, listeners, we love you. Keep sharing the love. Keep sharing the podcast. We love it. We love doing this every single week because, well, you're listening. It's as simple as that. The interaction on the Facebook page is growing. The Twitter is growing. Everything is growing, and we're loving it. So just remember, you can find us on the Facebook page at Lace Out Podcast. You can find us on the Twitter at Lace Out Podcast. Email us at laceoutpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, queries, dramas. Got a bit of an exciting announcement, which I'll be holding off until next week. Just got to lock something in, but we've had a pretty good success rate with the a chat with series, a chat with Jack Fitzpatrick, a chat with Justin Charles, but this could be the biggest guest that we've ever had. But I'm just going to hold a little bit close to the chest once it's been locked in. But if I had to give a bit of a hint, all I would say is toot toot, if you know what I mean.
Ooh, suspenseful.
It is suspenseful. So we'll strap ourselves in. We've got a lot to cover. Once again, the news has taken over this week. Listener questions. Funny enough, we're going to have a guest enter the Lace Out Kitchen, and one of our listeners has submitted their fry pan for this week. So we're going to go through that. We're going to go through the news. Some great stuff's happened over the last week. A couple of contentious issues, which we'll have a bit of a chat as we go. Richo Watch. Well, this week, I must admit, we don't have anything for Richo Watch. So it must have meant that he had spoken proper English, which is good to hear. And then once again, we'll just have a bit of a chat over all feelings about the games, etc. But Jamie, as you are the newsman, oh, and last but not least, don't forget that we're also going to go into the results for week 3 of the Lace Out Tipping Contest. And I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of movement at the top of the leaderboard. That's what it's called.
The leaderboard.
The leaderboard. All right. Well, let's get into it. First of all, Jamie Wallace, what's got your mind ticking over in the news this week?
All right. So first things first, we want to cover off the 666 warning. This is all about teams trying to be a bit sneaky and try and get that one man behind the ball, especially if we look at as the example, St Kilda on the weekend trying to protect their lead. They thought they'd just drop a player not in the 666 formation, and they copped a warning for it. I suppose the big contentious issue here, Peps, for me, is they've now had a preseason to train for it. They've now had two games. They've had umpire PDs with every club. Why are we still giving a warning? Why?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Because they're too gutless to pay it.
Just pay the free, right?
Just pay the free. I don't know what the issue is here. What the issue is. They were happy to give the 100-meter penalties out or the 50 on 50. There was no real big warning over that one.
No.
I don't know what the issue is. And I tell you what, St Kilda are scumbags. They knew what they were doing. Essendon tried it on the weekend as well, and they tried to get away with it against Melbourne. I don't know why, because I'm probably 7 goals up at that stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just got to stop. Like, when do you have enough warnings? Like, when does the warning system happen? They had two JLT games.
Yeah.
They probably gave warnings at their intra clubs. That's how bad they were. They've had three rounds of the AFL seasons.
Yeah.
Enough briefings, like you said, by the AFL. It's time to just, you know what, play it's what it's designed to do and crunch them for it. And when you even have someone come out like Nick Riewoldt on SEN last week and said exactly the same thing, how will they be able to negate it and use it for their advantage to slow it down, et cetera, because they know that they'll get a warning.
Mm.
Clubs and players are not stupid. They are not stupid. I know there's a lot going on. I think the runner, the loss of the runner does have a little bit to do with it because they would be able to control them a little bit. But outside of that, yeah, no good. I think they should just start paying it. And because it can get that slow the run-on effect for certain teams. I know with the Melbourne game, it slowed them down a little bit for it.
Yeah.
The St Kilda game, that was a bit of a contentious time it occurred.
Yeah.
I think you just, if you want to treat these people like men, I think that's the issue with the game at the moment, is that it is so over-officiated.
Yeah.
That it's like, when you see something as blatant like that, no good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the umpires had a bit of a shocker this weekend, didn't they?
They had a shocking one. Absolute shock.
They copped an absolute bashing. So I suppose we'll just move straight into let's move into the sliding rule, Peps, because I know this is something that you're super passionate about and the sliding in. I know Dangerfield has had his say on it for a year now, 2 years now. Basically, the rule is if you take out a player on the knees below, you are going to be awarded a free kick. Is that right? Hang on, that right? Yes. The player getting taken out by the player sliding in will get a free kick. Now, let's go back to what that rule was brought in for. It was to stop the players coming from unrealistic positions and sliding in to make a play on the ball.
Yeah.
Fast forward to what we've got now and players who are well within their rights to be on their hands and knees diving for a ball, taking another player's legs out and getting done for it. That is the most bullshit rule I think I've ever seen. And on the weekend, it did cost a few teams.
It's bullshit, mate.
It did cost a few teams a couple of shots in front of goal.
But it wasn't even just this year so far. The game that Melbourne played, and I know I refer to Melbourne because I watched most of their games, but it happened to Melbourne twice against Hawthorn in their final last year. Once with Angus Brayshaw.
Yeah.
He was on the ground, copped a knee to the head.
Yeah.
And was given a free kick away for below the knees. And Jordan Lewis on hands and knees, jumped over to get the ball, took out someone. I think it might have been Gunston at that stage, if I can remember.
Yeah.
And same thing happened, had another shot on goal. And that can turn the momentum of a game.
Absolutely.
Now, the whole purpose, once again, of that rule being brought in was because of 2012, Lindsay Thomas slid in and broke Gary Rowan's leg, shattered his leg. That's what it was designed to do, that dangerous sliding action.
Yep.
And now it's completely flipped, that if you're on the ground and you go for the ball and someone falls on you, it's all over these. What I don't get is if you technically look at it, the ones who just fall over the person's back, isn't that in the back? Because if you did the same type of action in a marking contest and you were back, you did that to the forward, where you basically fall across their back, it'd be a free kick.
Yeah, well, let's not get too complicated. I mean, like,
we might as well because that's what they're doing. That's my interpretation.
Yeah, I know, but like, just let the game play. Like, the two players, they're going for it, and a lot of the time these free kicks are being paid when the player whose knees are being taken out are right there stationary anyway. They're not coming in on a run. They're just stationary in the action. So it's a nothing free kick. Just stop blowing the whistle for it.
That's bullshit. It is absolute bullshit. When you look at what our game is supposed to be molded on, you know, see ball, get ball, reward the ball player. And then you see stuff like that where they're not even making an attempt. They're just falling over now.
Yeah.
And the free kicks are given away. It's you look at it and go, it just does not make sense. It makes less sense than how St Kilda have had the start to their season they have. Because I've got no idea how they're doing what they're doing at the moment.
But
the fact that they got within what, a kick or two against Frio over in Frio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not too bad out there, St Kilda supporters. Like, give us a comment on the Lace Out Facebook page how wonderful your team is going, because got to give you kudos. I think I thought my team would be where your team is, and your team is where my team is.
Mm-hmm.
Complete opposite. Yeah, complete opposite. But yeah, it's crap. They're going to have to do something about it. But the problem with the AFL, and we know this, is they're happy to dish out when people do wrong, mm-hmm. but when they do wrong, they rarely, and I can't remember any time where they've gone, we're getting that wrong.
Yeah.
Why can't they admit it? What is wrong with saying, yeah, you've got something wrong? Is there an issue with it? Is it going to make people go, oh, these guys don't have a clue what they're talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All fair points.
They are all fair points because, you know, this is supposed to be the people who look after the game, but the numbers keep saying that people are turning away from the game in leaps and bounds. Even they won't say that occurs, but the crowds look like they're a little bit down at the moment. Tipping the figures are because the games are getting overofficiated. People who watched games on the weekend, who I had a chat to with the local footy on the weekend, saying how over-umpired games are getting.
Yeah.
The Melbourne game on Friday night, 51 free kicks.
Yeah.
51 free kicks in a 100-minute game. That's one every 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are you supposed to get a flow-on effect of a game when you're pulling it up for ticky touch? And some of the stuff that's been getting, and that's the ones that they catch, the ones that are slipping through, some of them are so blatant it's out of control.
Holding the ball. That is a
what
rattle.
Is holding the ball? What is holding the ball? When was the last time they paid holding the ball? It's now incorrect.
A genuine holding the ball.
Like
a genuine one.
If my rule around holding the ball is simply this: as soon as you decide to take on a player, you've given up the right for prior opportunity. And that's what it should be. It should be prior opportunity. If you have the opportunity to give it off, too bad, too sad. You get caught. I don't care. The one that shits me most is when they tackle someone and they do a 360 or a 720 and they get rid of it.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be that. It should be you grab them, tackle them, drop on the ball. If they've had that prior opportunity, I'm sorry, you lose it.
Yeah.
And it's not right at the moment.
I can't disagree. I can't disagree with you, Chris.
Well, you better not.
I'm fully with you.
Good. It's good. Hey, do you know who's also good as well? Katie Brennan. Mm-hmm. Leaving the Bulldogs AFLW to join and become the first signing for the brand new AFLW Richmond Football Club team. Love it. Look, like I said, the season's over for AFLW. Each to their own, but you know, it's still getting headlines. And the numbers around, like we spoke about last week, the numbers of suburban football at the moment when it comes to ladies' participation is just growing year on year. And you watch the quality of the players coming through are going to get so much better over the next few years.
Yep.
And that's a great one. That's a huge signing for the Richmond team.
I didn't know that she was being the Bulldogs for 7 years when she came out and said that.
Yeah. She'd been there for a long time. So when they used to play their games against Melbourne, she'd be part of that as well. But you know what? It's obviously come down to dollars. They've probably given her a contract that's too good to refuse. It would be too good. But congratulations to her. So that's a pretty big signing. A pretty big name.
She went to the Bulldogs and they were like, Katie, no cash here. No cash here, Katie. No cash.
Yeah, because Dustin's got it all. Because that's what's good. Hey, and so that's a bit of a high five for my mate who's out there, Tom Hunter, who is looking after the women's team out there at the moment. A good friend of mine, known him for many years. Hoping to have him on as a guest of the podcast, just because he's got an exciting journey. We've spoken about it many times, you and I, Jamie, and I'd love to have him on just to say, hey, you know, tell me what's going on, what's going through your mind right now, moving into the first season as the AFLW for the Richmond Football Club. Tell us what's going on behind the scenes. How do you feel? Put in a pretty big responsibility. So that's awesome. And more of these things are going to happen. There's four new teams coming in next year. Once again, are we spreading it too thin too quickly? The standard increase this year is going to take a step back.
So who's coming in? Who's next year? So it's Frio and Richmond, isn't it? Is that right?
No, Frio this year.
Yeah.
got
who's coming in? Is it just Richmond? Is it next year?
No, there's four teams. It's four teams.
There's four teams coming in?
Yeah. Four teams coming in next year.
Okay. So who are they? We probably should have looked that up. We should have done some research.
Well, I have. Funny enough, I have actually done the research for you, which is it's the Gold Coast Suns, the Tigers, the Saints, and the Eagles. Funny enough, though, you could almost say that the Saints female team has actually been playing the last couple of years.
Yes. What about North Melbourne? What about
Geelong? No, they've already got their teams. Remember, Mo Hope got the sack. She's not going to be given a contract this year. Geelong, yeah. Mel Hickey, who was at the D's for many, many years, went back to play for the club that her grandfather did, Reg Hickey. So it's great news all across the board when it comes to the ladies' football. And like I said, it is just going to get bigger, bigger, bigger every year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exciting times, mate. Exciting times.
Well, we all know that we're all waiting for Port Adelaide to enter the league in 2021. So,
The female team?
Yeah, female team.
I think they've been playing the last few years. I know the female team looked like they turned up on the 2007 AFL Grand Final.
Oh, you're such a dickhead. Oh,
I know. I'm such a dickhead. But the dickhead that the listeners love. They love a good dickhead. And I'm the dickhead they love.
Hey, speaking about dickheads with chopsticks.
D. Martin, three votes.
Neck tat, D. Martin.
Look, you know what? He's having a bad run. You know what annoys me, though?
What's wrong with him?
Is that the players keep... No, well, he's got his 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He got his 2 weeks for Belton. I think it was the ball.
Yep.
Elbowed him. But the frustrating thing about all these decisions now is the medical report.
Oh, God, you're going to go on about Stephen May, aren't you? Here we go.
No, because did you see the bump Jesse Hogan did on the weekend?
Nathan Brown?
No, right. Did you see it? Did you see it? Yeah. Did you see what he got for that?
Yeah.
What did he get?
Week.
No, I didn't get a week.
Oh, fine, sorry.
Yeah, a $3,000 fine for that bump. Which was a contested ball.
Yeah.
It was in the play. It was a side-by-side. It's anytime the head gets touched now.
Yeah.
It's a fine. It's ridiculous. But it's a contact
freaking sport. You know this.
I know this, but what? I can't vent how I feel. You can't.
Hey. What we should do is have a podcast where we can vent all about football.
Fine. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be good if someone decided to put a podcast out where they could talk all about the great things and all the shit things in AFL football as well? And maybe call it after one of the greatest kicks you could ever have called Lace Out. That'd be awesome. And maybe get some guest people on and just have two really good-looking blokes who have perfect heads for radio hosting it. I reckon that'd be an awesome night here.
Light on the feathers on top?
Well, maybe for yourself. Like, I've got the solid... But Dusty.
Dusty.
He's copping it. Like, he's copping it from everyone.
Yeah.
He's just not playing well. He's not having a good start to the season whatsoever.
No.
And what do you do about him? You know, it also is that he hasn't got his protection. Because if you have a look at the stats for him so far this year, he's definitely down. But the other thing that you've got to take into consideration is there's not going to be Cochin this week, no Rewalt.
Mm-hmm.
He won't be there because he's copped his week. No Rance, no Caddy.
No Miles.
No Basher. Well, Miles is gone. Basher's not going to be there as well. And do you remember we were speaking, it might have been the start of the year, and we're talking about the thing Richmond haven't had over the last number of years is injuries.
Yeah.
Well, they've copped it, and look what's happened.
Someone's done something, broken a mirror, stepped under a ladder, whatever they've done, because it's been a horror. Yeah, sorry.
I reckon the owner of Mr. Miyagi broke a chopstick in front of a mirror while a black cat ran in front of him as he walked under a ladder, because he's in a lot of hurt at the moment. He's a shade of his former self. And what annoys me is that he comes out and says, oh, people come to watch the number four play for Richmond. Actually, no, we don't. I don't go out to watch Dusty number four.
No.
And he's getting tagged. If you're going to get paid $1.4 million a year, which apparently is the numbers that he's on, which is a lot less than what we're getting paid for this podcast every week.
Much.
And he's getting tagged. Well, that's what's going to happen. Fight your way through it. You did it a couple of years ago where you had arguably the greatest year of football anyone ever did.
Yeah.
And what, do you think because taggers are holding you out of the game? Well, you're supposed to be one of the big boys. Work your way through it.
Yep.
Well, every tag, what, you're not the only on ball ever in the history of game to get pushed out by a tagger.
No.
And that shits me when I hear that. Absolutely. Well,
what about the elbow? Is that just, should he got two or should he have got
two? He has elbowed a guy in the back of the head.
Yeah.
You know, and you have a look at his stats.
80 meters off the ball as well.
Let's put things in perspective. Okay. Let's just put three incidents in perspective.
Oh, here we go.
Mason Cox.
Yep.
Stephen May.
Oh, yeah. Rightio.
Dusty Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan Grimes.
Okay.
All,
right.
All got 1 week for their actions.
Yeah.
Two of them braced themselves. And last time I told you, you're allowed to bump, the other two threw elbows.
Yeah.
Yet, the good old Mr. Christensen decided to mark them down, except for Dusty, who's been, you know, rolled down to 1 week, all the same.
Yeah.
That's crap.
Let's be honest, though. May probably should have got 3 weeks.
Oh, why?
Because he's just prior. He's just a grub.
No, you're just jealous.
He's a chubby grub. He's a little chubby grub.
He's a chubby grub. Oh, he's been on the bin tangs in Bali. Oh, I think he had a bit too many bin tangs. I think he's had too many Pop Tarts as well too over the weekend. I think he's had a bit too much of the Gold Coast loving up there.
Oh yeah.
Jeez, yeah. Goodwin gave him a bit of a smack, didn't he? Oh, he won't be turning up to preseason like that again.
And Jordan Lewis.
Oh yeah. Good on him, mate. Good on him.
Yeah, I reckon.
Great stuff. But here's Dusty's stats, right? For the year, he's averaging just on 12 kicks, 9 handballs or 21 disposals, where he's probably usually averaging around about 30-odd. Uh-huh. So he's a good 30% down on what his output or his outlay is. Yeah, it's no good. But
go to him.
But he averages 25 disposals. He averages 4 marks. He averages a goal a game. He's nothing like that at the moment.
Well, 25 disposals is nothing for a midfielder these days. That's a nothing stat now.
You can get 25 in the warm-up. If you don't break both your collarbones before you start.
They're sturdy now.
Sturdy.
No, but I do think what you're saying is spot on. He's way down, but he also doesn't have the supporting cast anymore. So now if you're a midfielder, you go to Dustin and you go to Dustin. Who else do you go to?
Yeah. You can't go to Cochin because he's not there.
No, you can't go to Cochin.
You can't go to Presty. It doesn't hurt you both ways.
No.
No.
So it's an easy tag.
Yeah.
Easy-ish.
No, exactly right. Hey, I do want to pick out one of your blokes, by the way. Connor Rosie.
Yeah.
I think you got something there, my friend.
What a stud.
He is a stud. Definitely not you looking in the mirror. But there's a stat out at the moment, the fewest career games to have 20 disposals and 5 goals in the AFL era, so 1990 to now, so 30-odd years. Mm-hmm. Brent Heaver was playing for Melbourne at the time, did it. Adrian McAdam and Shane Crawford did it in their second game. Brent Heaver did it in his first. Connor Rosie did it in his third.
Yep.
Now, funny enough, to do it in their fourth game was Scott West and two of our favourites, being Alan Jakovich and Richo.
So
in Richo's fourth game, he had 20 disposals and 5 goals.
Yeah.
And the Pods had did it in his fifth. That's good for the young man to do
Can I just say something? Can I say something?
Yeah, tell me.
If Chad Wingard is listening to this podcast, now with Connor Rosie coming through, all I want to say is, Chad who?
Chad who?
Who is he? He's a nobody. Rosie is the star. Rosie is the star. Everything is Rosie in Port Adelaide.
Everything is Rosie.
He's basically replaced Chad Wingard for me. He leaps as good as goal sense like him. And he actually has a bit of work ethic about him, unlike Chad.
Well, here's another stat for you, and this relates to the game that happened last Friday night. Did you know that was the 21st time the bottom two teams on the ladder had scored 100-plus points in a game versus each other? The time previous to that, 2015, round 19, Brisbane versus the Gold Coast Suns.
Wow, shootout. I remember that shootout, actually.
Yep, and that's some exciting stats brought to you by Richo.
All right.
So I did mention this a little bit earlier. We're going to have a celebrity cook in the Lace Out Kitchen this week, cooking something extraordinary in the fry pan. I'm going to hand this one over to you, Jamie, because you know this person a lot better than I.
Sure.
And more importantly, the reason why we're going with this is because the extraordinarily long write-up about your team.
Yes.
That was made. So introduce the great man, and let's see who he's frying this week.
All right. So this week, massive shout out to one of my mates who is a Geelong supporter. So won't hold that against him. But let's just say that he has put in the work and I think deserves almost a legendary status and the honorary first guest fry up in today's fry pan. So Josh Weymouth sent this text to me, I think Saturday, after previous weeks, he said that he's going to work on something. So I'm going to read you the text he sent me. It's a long one, but I think it needs time to go through it because it is quite brilliant. So here's Josh's text. After watching the 2014 Prem Final between Port and the Hawks, we all thought that Port were on the brink of something special, a serious contender for the next 3 to 4 years at least. Since that final, they've finished 9th, 10th, 5th with a first round loss to West Coast, and 10th. During this stretch, their draft strategy was 2014 pick 56, 2015 pick 37, 2016 pick 6, and 2017 first pick was number 47. Also during this time, they did manage to pick up trade via free agency where we got Paddy Ryder, Jimmy Tumpus.
Fail. Times
Jack
two.
Watts, Jack, fail. Jack Watts, Tom Rockcliffe, Steve Motlop, Trent McKenzie, and Jack Trengove.
Fail. And
finally, Scott Lyse at the Australian Ruckman right now.
Oh, you got him well. That's not too early to judge, Josh. That is definitely not too early to judge.
Over the period of time, it has been very difficult to pinpoint who exactly has been their best players. You think of Robbie Gray, Chad Wingard, who's gone now, and maybe Travis Boak. They have either stagnated or gone backwards statistically. They have tried to top up their list that was close to a grand final and have failed in this quest. They finally read the writing on the wall and traded into a quality draft last year where they drafted inside the top 10 with 3 picks. So that was quite a big year. So the question is, have Port Adelaide's football department got it wrong or got it so far wrong over the years that they have wasted their club's opportunity to contend the best part of 5 years? Should they be sacked to get some better talent evaluators and some better player developers into their club? I equate them to the NBA equivalent of the New Orleans Pelicans. Consistently trading out of the draft to build their best players, but getting it wrong so many times has ended up a debacle. How much more of this can Port Adelaide supporters put up with? The brilliance of the magical 2014 run is still shown in sparing flashes, but it is merely a memory of what could have been.
Sizzling. Jeez, he hasn't. Damn, he hasn't held back on that one, has he?
And he hasn't missed.
He hasn't missed? So tell us what you, when you first read this, what went through your mind when you first read Joss's text?
Well, do you know what? When I first read it, I was like, fuck. Even people from other clubs who don't watch Port Adelaide religiously like I do can see these problems from a mile off. So from an outsider, everything he said here is exactly right. He's missed a couple of points in terms of the stuff that's even, it gets worse than this, where we're giving players long contracts, still keeping on the books, dumb trades, all those things. So he actually could have gone even harder at us. But Josh has 100% nailed what is so wrong under the Ken Hinckley era, especially the last 4 years. He has absolutely nailed it. Players have not developed and have probably gone backwards. Like, our skills are woeful. They've been woeful for so long. You only need to look at Saturday night when we kicked, had seven set shots, six of them missed in one quarter, and fucking, you know, lo and behold, we lose the game by 16 points. Every Port Adelaide supporter has seen that a million times. So I knew what was coming. So Josh hasn't missed, and he's spot on. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you're just shit. I think you're doing what a lot of other clubs have done, and one that stands out to me is Hawthorn.
Yeah.
Yet Hawthorn do it well. You haven't.
No. Exactly right.
And I look at the ones that you've picked up. Your strike rate isn't that crash hot. Ryder, yes. Yeah. But Ryder, the only reason Ryder got to you is because he played an emotional distress card in relation to the Essendon drug saga to get away with that one.
Yep. We also missed a year of Ryder as well. So in all these years, we missed a whole year of him.
Yeah. So Jimmy Tumpus, fail, but...
That was a fail
in a number of ways. He failed at Melbourne and he failed at your mob as well too. Jack Watts, look, he cops a lot, but you know, I was really disappointed to see him go down the other week and tore us a new one in the first week. Tom Rockliffe, I think he's got leprosy because no one goes near him. Steve Motlop would be the biggest disappointment out of that group.
Easily, by far.
He's just too fluky when he plays. Trent McKenzie with one of the longest kicks in the league. I don't know. Is he playing at the moment? Yep. Is he getting a game?
This is the thing, Peps. I think you got to nail it here. If Jimmy Tumpus couldn't crack Melbourne's team when they were where they were at, and Trent McKenzie couldn't crack the Gold Coast, how the fuck were they ever going to crack Port Adelaide's team? What were they thinking?
They should be captaining the joint looking at your mob. Yeah. And Jack Trengrove didn't play for goodness knows how long because of his foot.
And we were never going to play.
The only decent one you got was Scott Lysett, and I've got no idea why he left the West Coast. He's probably left at the back-to-back Premier, which is one thing that one of our other listener questions have come up, which we'll have a bit. Yeah, I think you've stretched yourselves way too thin. And I can look at Carlton as the perfect example. Carlton have gone back to the draft. They tried doing Operation GWS Light. That didn't work. They've gone back to the draft. Yep. Sam Walsh, they've picked up Sam Walsh. McKay, they've picked up Petrevsky. They've picked up the kids, Charlie Curnow.
The brothers, and,
they are going to be awesome. You know what? It's the good thing about when your team's not going well, you actually get some enjoyment watching other teams play.
Yep.
And that's happened on the weekend. I like where Carlton's going.
Yeah.
It's even people like Daisy Thomas. They're playing all right football at the moment.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't have said a while ago. So it's spunked him up a little bit.
Yeah.
But even the Gold Coast, like I watched the Gold Coast win against the Doggies. I was on the edge of my seat watching that. I was so excited to see this young group of guys who have been smacked virtually since they opened up the doors of that place. They've had that much talent walk out the door. Yep. They've got a guy who's up there who let's just say it looks like he's eaten half the team, you know, but he's up there, he's having a crack, and the passion that they're playing with, they should almost be 3-0.
Yeah, okay. Yep, I agree.
Almost be 3-0.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have said that about Gold Coast. People picking that they weren't going to win a game for the entire year. They lost to St Kilda by a point.
Yeah.
They've come out the week after and beaten the Dockers, mm-hmm. and then they've come out and they've beaten the Doggies at the Kennel. Mm. And this week, they've got another game and they're playing against Carlton at Metricon.
Okay.
That's going to be a good game to watch. And I wouldn't – could you imagine if Gold Coast win that and they're sitting at 3-1?
3-1. Wow. Yep, that'd be amazing. Well, they're in a cluster of teams who are 2-1. So that if they had a bit more higher scoring and got scored less against, they could
there's
be
only,
like 8.
There's only one score that you got to get, and that's 4, which is the 4 points. You get the 4 points every week. Doesn't matter what your scores are.
True.
That was Ross Lyon's philosophy. That was Paul Roos's philosophy for goodness knows how long. Choke him to death and then win. If you win, doesn't matter how many points you score as long as your opposition doesn't score as many.
Yep, true.
But there's – and yeah, so I reckon that's a it's brilliant with the way that they're going. Really like it. But your mate just finishing up on that, yeah. I think I remember that 2014 year and it was stunning.
Yeah.
But that was 6 seasons ago, mate.
Ages.
5 years ago, sorry. 6 seasons ago. Gone.
Well done, Josh. That was a brilliant.
So well done, Josh. Another question that came through from another avid listener, Tommy Crawford, otherwise known as the Toilet Clogger on Level 3 himself. And he pretty much came out and asked, has West Coast basically got this year's premiership in the bag?
Hmm. What do you think?
Look, they're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
They're going to have 11 games at home.
Yeah.
They're just going to be tough to beat. There's one team, I think, What's that?
Round one? Just West Coast. I'm thinking Jesus, but the last 2 weeks, bang, bang, bang. Looking good again.
They play Frio this week in the derby.
Yep.
They should win that. How is it that a team do what they do and then they have this guy named Andrew Gaff come in and he just picks up a casual 30-odd first game back?
Yep.
Oh, and they've got this guy named Nick Nat who also needs to come back?
Yep.
Yep. They're going to be hard to beat. Here are the 3 teams that I think will get close to them. If there are. The first one is GWS because they're starting to get a bit of momentum, but they've got too much talent to let it slide. And Jeremy Cameron, for what he did on the weekend, 7 goals and 30 possessions, doesn't that get you moist? Geelong?
Yes.
And the only other one that I can see that will get close to them is Collingwood. But Collingwood are not super reliable either.
No.
They're sitting at one at 2 at the moment as well.
Yep. Okay. Sure.
So Melbourne, forget about Melbourne. They're cooked. Richmond, they're cooked. No rants. They can't dance. Port Adelaide, you're too fluky. Adelaide are too fluky.
Yeah.
Who's left? Hawthorn? Maybe.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I don't think there's many teams. I reckon regardless of what the ladder looks like, there's too many teams who are a little bit iffy. Yep. And I reckon the premiership is down to 3 teams already. 3, maybe 4 at the most.
That's depressing.
Collingwood, GWS, West Coast, Geelong.
Yeah.
I can't see anybody else. The only other smoky you could look at maybe doing some damage is Brisbane because they're playing some cracking footy as well, but I don't think there's many more outside of that.
No, I agree.
So yeah, Tommy, I think they've got it. You've got to look at it as who's going to beat them, or more importantly, who are they going to lose to?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's anyone who will lose to them.
All right, I got a question for you.
Yep.
Sausages.
Yes.
How do you have your sausages in bread? Are you a diagonal man, or are you straight up and down the pitch sort of man?
Well, I like to use the full surface area of the bread, and I go. Now, if we're talking a square piece of bread, the other way you can go is diagonally. Mm-hmm. But if you're using something like a Vienna, which is wider than it is higher, you've got to go down the middle.
All right, so I'm just going to go the old bog standard Cole special white bread.
Yep.
So then you go diagonal. So then how do you put your sauce on a sausage? Are you on the bottom or on the top?
No, I get my wife to do it. Oh, on top, baby. Always on top. I don't mind it on the bottom sometimes, but really like being on top.
Nah, I'm underneath.
You can't. It gets lost. The bread soaks it up. You don't get the full flavor of the sauce, especially if it's a Heinz 57 varieties ketchup. Love that a lot.
No, you got to have sauce on the bottom. Otherwise, it goes everywhere. And you're dropping sauce, and it's just an absolute shit fight.
And that's your problem. Obviously, not skilled enough. It's a talent to be able to do that. So I'm just saying.
I'm not saying you're not a talented sausage eater. I'm not saying that at all. I'd never say that about you. But for people who are not as experienced as much as you are, I'm on the bottom.
Look, I've heard from a very, very good source that you do love the snag a lot more than I love the snag. You love the snag. True?
The snag.
I think you love the snag, especially the ones with the gorgonzola cheese in the middle with the chorizo. That just
like spurts
when you bite into it. down the side of your mouth. All right.
So your sauce on top. Okay. Well, there you go. I have a question next week for you, actually, another food question.
All right,
listeners, please also ask your food questions in this listener question section. That's fine.
All right. That was an exciting segment then. All right, we're on the home stretch. Quick thing I just need to let everybody know about is, once again, the more questions that you have for us, the better off we'll be. More importantly, the more input that you have, we will share it with you as well too. Just having a look at the Lace Out Footy Tips competition. And I don't know if you've got the ladder in front of you, Jamie.
No, I don't.
Well, I don't either, but I can tell you that I am still on top. You are sitting second. Josh is
really third.
Yep. And the Love Machine, aka my brother, Morton Meets the Eye, is dead last as well. So there hasn't been much movement there. No jokers have been played, but it's an exciting competition. This is the tightest lace out tipping competition that we've ever had.
By far. Hang on, Chris. I've got a phone call here. I've got to do a quick phone call. Hang on. Okay. Yep. Yeah. All right. No. Sorry, Chris. I had a phone call. I just got off the phone with Missing Persons, and just let you know that Melbourne still haven't been seen since leaving Tullamarine in September last year.
There's no players. Yeah. Missing Persons. Exactly. I think I saw the team football. I think I saw the poster that they put in the Herald Sun. was on the wall at the post office under the Missing Persons. All right. One thing that I just need to finish up with is we'll be back next week. Like I said, hopefully going to have some amazing news about another chat in the Chat With series. It's been a bit of a shorter episode. I do want to have a quick little what caught your eye about last week's games before we wrap up. Sure. Adelaide, they're no good. Geelong, just when you think that they're going to fall over, they never do.
Surprising. Very surprising, Geelong.
Yeah, very surprising. They're just playing really good football, and the inclusions, their young kids are doing well, but the inclusions of Rowan and Dalhouse, who were bit players for their clubs over the last couple of years, are bit players here, but they're just what they need. So it's awesome. Yep. Melbourne was shit. Essendon were just way too good. Sydney beat Carlton, but for a lot of that game, Carlton were with them.
Yeah.
And that's a sign of a team that's getting older, more experienced, that they're not getting blown away like they were the last couple of years. So
and Carlton are doing a lot this year.
Yeah, that's good. You need to have those close losses to appreciate it, and you know what you need to do to get the next level.
Yep.
How good was it seeing Richmond get smashed? GWS, just dangerous. Your mob losing to Brisbane. Now, I don't know about you, but I did pick Brisbane.
I did.
To win that. I did. They were awesome. Brisbane, they got something special. Hipwood, McCluggage, Rayner. They got Hodgie down back, Steph Martin. Yeah. Oh, just gets you excited. They've still got that Mitch Robinson. They're going to be hard to beat next year.
True. But up there, though, this year, that ball was, you know, as Brisbane is, it's freaking humid and greasy. They're going to be hard to beat.
That's what I've heard about. That's what the boys say about you in the saunas, my friend. Dude. Greasy and hot. Also, we've got West Coast doing the number against Collingwood at the G. Not a good place for the Pies at the G at the moment when West Coast turn up. Doggies and Suns, we went over that. That was, if you can get and watch the last 2 minutes of that game, it'll blow you away. They were down by 15 and they've been able to claw back within 5 points in the space of 2 minutes and could have won it with a missed goal.
Yep.
At the end, North started like a house on fire and ended up what happens to houses on fire in a pile of ashes and tears. Yeah. Hawthorn just tick along. Wingard comes back, sets a light. And St Kilda, they can hold their heads up high, went across to the West Coast, played Fremantle. Fremantle got across the line, didn't play great football. Fife's out with concussion from pretty much halfway through the third on, is in doubt this week.
Yeah. Frio blew them out of the water the first quarter.
Yeah. But you know what? It's footy's good. The AFL must be creaming in their jeans right now because this is what they want. 18 teams to win 18 flags over 18 years. You know, that's exactly how they want it. They want more evenness in the comp and it's happening.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be one of those years where teams are going to be stiff to miss out. Remember a couple of years ago that the ladder was done with about 3 rounds to go?
Yeah.
This is going to be, you know, shotgun Sunday sort of things in the EPL, like last round sort of stuff.
Yeah. And I think it has done that the last couple of years. Not the top, but definitely the bottom of the eight. The last couple of years, those last few games are super critical.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. I'm loving the way football's going at the moment. I really am.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I'm loving the way the podcast is going. Once again, we've had another great week with the great host, the co-host with the most, Jamie Wallace. How's Hux is going on as nicely as well? Do you think
Well, could you hear him before?
Yeah, I could hear him. I was going to tell you to shut the kid up. I had to get my daughter out a minute ago. She was doing her thing. One quick thing I will ask you. You Port Adelaide this week, taking on the Tigers in Adelaide.
Adelaide, yeah.
Win, loss, and by how much?
Look, people say there's the best time to get Richmond when they've got all their players out. Because you're probably going to beat them. We will not beat Richmond. Because I think like you, Peps, I think with Melbourne, every game you go, you have no faith. And I have no faith in this team at the moment. So I think we're going to lose. But I am happy to be wrong.
Severely lacking George Michael, my friend. I have no faith in the D's against the Swans this week on a Thursday night. So if you're looking at going to the shops this Thursday night, do it this week. Because there'll be nothing on TV except a shellacking, and Melbourne will lose by 5 goals at a minimum. They've got no back line. They've got no forward line. Yeah, but if they come out and win, I'll do nude. By the way, just to let you know, I almost got kicked out of the footy on Friday night. Apparently, you're not allowed to take your shirt off and swing it around over your head when they kick their 7th goal in a row. Security guards don't like that. But the Melbourne supporters were loving it. They wanted me to do it again next time to make sure I wax my back. Hey, that's another episode. That's an episode done, mate. We absolutely had a ball. Like I said, everybody, listeners, thank you for listening. We love your feedback through Facebook, through Twitter. Shoot us an email. Hey, if you got some guests that you know and you want to have an interview with us, look, hey, the more the merrier. Like I said, We're doing this because we love our footy, but we also love you guys writing back and saying what we like. Also on the Facebook page, if you haven't seen, I tend to drop one of my pre-game and after-game video rants. Last week's video rant was done in the drive-thru at McDonald's. If you got a chance, get on the Facebook Lace Out page, Lace Out podcast page, and have a bit of a look at my rant. I don't think that the girl in the drive-thru was too impressed by my antics. But look, Jamie, it's another week. Another week is done. Another podcast in the can. This will be dropping tonight. But there is the question that I have to ask, and that question is simply this: how do you love your footy?
I like my footy like Ray Finkel loves his footy in Ace Ventura. I like it. Lace out.
Is that before or after he turned into a worm?
That was before, and then he turned into a woman. And then remember that scene with all the detectives vomiting because that all...
Yep. Yeah, exactly right. They'd all tinkled with the Finkel. All right. Hey, all listeners, have a great week, listeners. And remember, be a Ray Finkel, enjoy your footy, lace out. Have a great week. Take care. See you, Jamie. Take care, mate.
Bye.